Hey, dreamers, this is Lou Mangiello from WDW Radio. Keep on dreaming with the Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Hey dreamers, I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with J.V. Crum III, who is making his dreams come true by waking up others to their true potential and giving them the tools to achieve it. Glad to have you on the show, J.V.
Hey! Well, glad to be here, Joe. It was like great meeting you at Florida Podcast. That was so cool.
Yeah, it was. I actually just did a review for that the other day, and you can check it out on my YouTube channel.
Yeah, it was such 50 people there. It was an amazing group of people who are, you know, a lot of us who are already successful in podcasts and a whole lot of people who want to get into podcasts, because podcasts is just, here I am in my third month and I've got almost 400,000 downloads in 123 countries, and you start from nothing and then all of a sudden you're waking up the world with a great message. And that's the power that we all have inside of us to go do that.
Yeah, it's amazing that there were so many people. I think actually Jared Easley had told me that they sold 70 tickets. They were only supposed to sell 50, and it was crazy that many people jam-packed into that room, but it was totally worth it. I think it was a good mix of experienced podcasters and people who are new to the format.
Right, yeah. Well, it's a format that I love, is that I told you I'm launching another one, Conscious Moving Our Motivation, in January, and I just booked my first guest for January recording for Conscious Millionaire Health. I'm going to talk about health and fitness for conscious entrepreneurs and a holistic approach, because as entrepreneurs, you know, being fit and healthy is like at the center of our success. If we aren't healthy, if we aren't vital, there's no way we can achieve as much success as we could, nor are we going to enjoy the journey as much.
Oh, I hear that. I'm about to go for a run after this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually hired a trainer who's an ex-pro football player. And as I hired him to, I'll keep it clean, beat the heck out of me 3 times a week. And I've got to say, I've worked out with a lot of trainers, but he's training me in a way I've never been trained before. He's come up with new exercises. I'm going, he goes, well, there are 360 bones in the body, and I want you using all of them.
With today's topic, we're going to talk about discovering your purpose, because JV, you know all about that. I know all about that, with both of our pasts being very similar to each other. But before we get there, I want you to go into your background a little bit more.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, it was really circuitous, I guess would be the right word. I went to college to go to med school, and I did my pre-med and very quickly decided I didn't want to go to med school. That I didn't have an intuitive sense of what was going on in bio lab. I was smart enough to make it through it, but that didn't seem good. Then I decided I was going to pre-seminary. That was the second year. And then I decided the third year, I graduated in 3 years, that I would do clinical psych. So I got a master's in clinical psych. My father's trucking line was basically bankrupt. And I was finishing up my thesis. And he said, I want you to come home. I want you to work with me, which had nothing to do with what I wanted. But I really loved my dad. I knew nothing about business. I had intentionally, this is the funny part of it, is that because I grew up in a family that had a lot of rocky financial, very rocky, and my dad was in business, I had it coded in my mind that business was the one way not to make money. That's why I was going to be a doctor, because all the doctors I knew were living in nice houses, right? They were driving nice cars and they seemed to have plenty of money. And I liked science, so I'm going, okay, this seems like a better thing for me. So I never took a business course. I had never read a business book, a business article. I knew nothing about business. And in 1 year, I took a bankrupt company, turned it around, created a 6-figure profit. Within 3 years, had 6-figure profits in a month. Found out that I was a duck to water. You know, that it was just kind of a natural, that it was really about systemizing things, having everything really organized. And I was a detail systems kind of person. It's how I made it through school. And I found out it was the same skills. But the first 3 years, it was really great because I made the first million. I got at 25 a home on the water, a Mercedes when nobody had Mercedes. It was almost like getting a Rolls Royce at that time. Just so you know, in case you're listening, Mercedes were, you know, it's only in the last 20 years everybody started getting them. But I got one 30 years ago, and it was like a pretty unique car. You know, so it was kind of great, you know, having this money. But I 3 months after I bought this home and I'm looking out over the water and I felt really empty inside. And I said, something's wrong. And I realized that at 5 years of age, I decided I was going to grow up and be a millionaire. And I remember running into the house telling my parents, when I grow up, I'm going to be a millionaire. You know, and they said, don't tell anybody. So I told everybody because that's what little kids do. But and I grew up in a little town, about 300 or 400 people. So I think I told everyone. And I'm sure when I think back, they must have thought, oh, that cute little kid, isn't he fun? Because nobody had any money. So nobody was, of course, believing me. But I didn't care because I was really, I believed so deeply that I knew that I was going to get there. But I realized that my little boy dream was to have the money, but I didn't know anything about the fulfillment or the purpose or the meaning or the happiness. I assumed, like I think most people in America, I mean, we're so sold this dream that the money's the answer, as opposed to getting a great life is the answer and the money's what pays for it. So yes, you want the money, but getting money alone ain't going to give you a great life. And I think I was fortunate enough to figure that out at 25 and go, okay, there's something else. And I literally spent the next 15 years going to spiritual retreats, sweat lodges, Tony Robbins, personal growth things, reading tons of books, looking for, well, what is this other thing I'm looking for? What's missing in my life? And so I ultimately decided I'm totally unfulfilled running these companies. I don't like what I'm doing. You know, my father was in his 70s, but we had long discussions. And I finally convinced him, because we owned it 50-50 at that point, that we were going to sell the company. So, you know, because that I was not staying. And then I went off and moved to Denver. I moved to Boulder, shaved my head, did the Buddhist kind of thing, you know, meditated every day. I'd go camping for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, doing that searching period, which was really great. And one day I was searching. I was actually over in Reno, and I went to San Francisco for the week, and I picked up this magazine. It wasn't a magazine. It was a brochure for the Green Festival, actually. I came back. I had this great apartment for 6 months. I was skiing Tahoe for the winter, and I looked down. I saw the word conscious, and I had been thinking for 2 years I wanted to do a millionaire program, but I didn't want to do that smoke and mirrors, vapid, sell the empty box, and I'm the guy making money, and everybody else left with nothing. We all know those stories, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And I saw conscious, and right in my forehead, I saw the phrase conscious millionaire. And I got a tingling in my spine and this inner knowing, that's all I can say it was an inner knowing, oh, I have found my calling. I found my purpose. And of course, knowing how the universe works, I stayed in the hot tub for another 40 minutes and reveled. The only thing that's missing about the story, you go back, if you were shooting a movie, you would have had a great glass of Cabernet with you. You know, there would have been a great glass of cab sitting next to the hot tub when this moment of revelation came. But in real life, there wasn't one. And but I got out and I knew that consciousmillionaire.com was going to be there. I'm an attorney. So I filed my trademarks. They're now in, like, I think 25 countries. About 6 months later, in kind of a similar moment of revelation, I got this phrase conscious world, which I also filed a trademark on. And right now we're looking for youth. Conscious World. I want to do a plug if I can.
Sure, of course.
Consciousworld.org. It's a 501c3. It's my nonprofit. We have a global reach, and we're looking for youth 18 to 25 all over the world. So if you know of anybody or you're listening and you're in that age range, it's consciousworld.org. And we'll be taking applications December of 2014, January 2015. And in February, we're going to do our first ever Global Conscious World Day broadcasting on the internet. And we're looking for young people who are either doing projects or contributing to causes that uplift humanity. So that's the other part of my own sense of purpose. Then we're going to narrow it down to 10, and there'll be the 10 finalists. And that will begin, yes, another podcast. So when we do the Global Day, we're going to broadcast part of those interviews, and then that next week, we're going to start a weekly interview with youth leaders all over the world who are uplifting humanity to both honor them and get the message out to other people about what's really possible with your life. So what I realized through all of this is, what was I really about? I was really about, you know, raising the consciousness of other human beings, raising my conscience, raising the consciousness of society. But at the core of that was waking people up to who they really are. And at our deep core, And I leave it to everybody to decide, where does this come from? Everybody has a different story. It's not the story that matters. It's whether you find the rose in your life, right? We'll go back to Shakespeare. Rose by any other name, still a rose. So I think that at our core, we're each of us on this planet for a reason. I don't think there's any accidents that anybody is here. And I think we all have a deep purpose that's our authentic core. And that when we discover that purpose and we begin living it in every part of our life, in our relationships and how we treat people on a daily basis, is the big why that I train entrepreneurs to put in the center of their business and have it be the higher purpose for their business. That becomes something, a phrase that I like came to me about 2 or 3 years ago. And I go, conscious millionaire, wild horses could not stop me because I know it's why I'm here. And I'm on a mission. It's a big mission because I don't like little questions. Little questions bore me. But big questions excite me, even if I don't know how to do them. You know, it's like, okay, big questions inspire. And my big question is, how do I help a million entrepreneurs become bona fide financial conscious millionaires? Nobody's done anything like that. But over the next 20, 30 years, we're going to figure out how to do that all over the world. We're launching programs this next year called First Million, about how to make your first million, because that is such a game changer in people's lives. When you make your first million, your life changed. Your thoughts about yourself change. Your belief about what you're capable of doing changes. And the second million is a lot easier than the first million. You now can send your kids to college and it's not a burden. You can contribute to the causes you really want. You now can invest and make sure that your retirement is an exciting adventure where you can take the cruises and travel to any place that you want, and that, you know, that you can have the life that you want, and you can care for other people in a way that also you have the funds in order to pay for things. So you can just go do something nice for someone. You don't even have to know them, buy them something they need. So that's a mission that I'm on. And it really comes down to purpose. So I call it your true north. I have a formula that's got three parts to it. I'd like to go over that because if you're listening, I'm going to give you some exercises to do, because I'm really about taking action and just moving forward. Because if we just talk about it, we don't get anything. So the first part of your true north is, what is that passion or passions that are so deep in you that you would do them all day long? You don't even know that time passed. You would do them for free to help other people, and you probably have. So this isn't like you like chocolate ice cream or butternut ice cream, right? I'm passionate about ice cream. Right now, I've cut it completely out of my life because I'm living a healthier life. So I'm lactose intolerant, so everything went. But these are the things that just excite you and get your heart and your soul on fire to do. In my case, it's clear. I love seeing the light bulbs go off in other people. I love supporting other people finding their dreams and achieving them, because that's so exciting. You know, and then there's the purpose. And I read a lot of books about purpose because I was obviously looking for my own and I wanted to, you know, find it. And I'd go camping for 2 or 3 months. What's funny, 2 or 3 weeks, I actually took a 4-month, 30,000 mile road trip right after I sold the companies in my Grand Cherokee, inspired by Jack Kerouac's book On the Road, which I read when I was in high school. So I was really out looking for my purpose. However, when I started working with clients, I realized I couldn't take this kind of time. And so I had to create processes that within 2 or 3 weeks, we could get to a pretty good definition, a working definition, because there's always little nuances to it, but a working definition. So you can start putting it in the middle of your life and your building. And it's also who you want to associate with. Who do I hang out with? I hang out with people who want to change people's lives and change the world. You know, because those are the most exciting people for me to hang out with, because I want to support them and we have a camaraderie. So that purpose, what I found in most of the books I read is they made me feel good, but they didn't actually, they'd say things like, this was very unuseful, I found. When it would say something like, when you find your purpose, you'll know it. And I'm going, well, that was very helpful. Thank you very, very much. I'm glad to know that. When I find it, I'll know it.
That'll be $1,000, please.
Yeah. How would I find it? And this is what I finally realized, is that that purpose was like a two-sided coin. And on one side, just say, is your purpose. It's written on one side. But on the other side is difference you want to make. that purpose is always outwardly directed. It's always an act of service to someone or something else other than yourself. And that it really boils down to a simple formula of just saying, what's that difference you want to make? The difference I want to make is waking people up. The difference someone else might want to make is protecting pets. I have a friend, she's been very financially successful, sold her companies, and now she spends all of her time working with dogs and rescue dogs, and because that's her passion, and that's the difference she's on the planet to make. So when you start looking at that way, it starts getting a lot simpler. You go, because now let's put the two phrases together. What's that difference that you're excited to make, that you're so passionate about, that it, in a way the joke is that you could actually become rich doing it because you love doing it so much? And guess what? That's when people are most going to want to work with you, because you're excited and you're bringing something to the table that you're so passionate about and that you're so driven to help them, that it's really not about how much money you can get out of them, which is the old school way of making money, but it's really about them paying you for the value that you're giving them. And you're so dedicated to that value that you're not going to stop till you help them get it. You know, that you're really driven to that. You know, this is when you spend that extra time with them because you just want them to get it. Now, the third part to your true north is that it's very, very helpful that you actually have some strengths that would help you do this. And so now let's look at your strengths. What I found, you know, there are a few people. I interviewed one last week who's a 22-year-old who's already starred on Broadway. And, you know, there are a few people that genetically, you know, you just kind of go, well, is there any end to their strengths? So that's the unusual person. That's the 0.1%. But for most of us normal people, what I found is that we have 2 to 3 strengths that we're really, really good at. These are the things that we naturally do. We've probably gone and gotten some training in them because, you know, we wanted to get super good at them, but we were already better than most of the population before we ever took a course in it or had a coach help us with it. You know, I'm really great at strategies. I see you've got the drums in the background. You may be a fabulous musician. There are people who can walk in a room and everybody can laugh. Guess what? They're called stand-up comedians eventually, right? And I've noticed that Ellen DeGeneres is doing pretty damn good in her career, right? And then there are people who are fabulous at interviewing people. And as I noticed last night, I was watching Barbara Walters interview Oprah Winfrey. And as best I can tell, Oprah's done pretty good. So why? Because she has a natural strength. Everybody has natural strengths. And so it's really critical that you bring those natural strengths and your passionate purpose together in a way that if you're going to build a business, for example, that you are doing the things you're great at, and then you hire everybody else to do the other stuff, right? I mean, I have a fabulous assistant. She's wonderful. She does all the editing of my podcast notes, all the posting, all of that. And she's really great. I have a web guy who's doing all my web stuff. I understand what we're doing, but I don't code websites. But when we have a, you know, half hour conversation, I know what we can change in the website because it's possible. I know how long it's going to take and I'll go, yep, do it. I want it. Right? Because that's part of my vision. So that's basically how you discover that inner purpose. And then I find that your life works best when you look at it as a whole. Because a lot of times people go, okay, this is what I do to make money. This is my job. This is my career. This is my business. Here's my life. But you know what? When you start surrounding yourself by people who resonate with your purpose and you resonate with their purpose, that I think is what we typically call a tribe. So I'm moving to Colorado because there's so many people in the consciousness movement, because I want to live a healthy lifestyle, because I like outdoor sports, I like camping, I like skiing. So what? I want to be around other people who are doing the same thing so we can support one another. And really, that's when you have your best community. And you and I both found, for instance, I now have this huge passion about interviewing people and podcasts. You know, I'm starting 3 more in the next 4 months. And then that's it for the next year. I'm pretty good. I'm set.
Are you getting more assistance to edit those?
I'm taking, it's actually interesting. I have a call in 2 hours with my assistant and I started giving her more things and that wasn't working. So I went in and edited her responsibility list this morning and I took out everything but podcasts. So she's only going to be doing podcasts. And then I'm going to hire another person to be a full-time assistant who's going to do all the other stuff.
It's a good move because you already know what her body of work is.
Yeah, and she's great at it. So why not find somebody else? Because she doesn't like the sales type of thing. So I'm going to find somebody who's kind of a sales / marketing assistant so they can set me up with my speaking gigs, you know, help interact. I have so many people wanting to do joint ventures with me at this point, wanting to do programs, wanting to be affiliates. But she'll be really good handling it's going to be either one. We'll be really good with that kind of thing.
I love what you had to say about this, you know, discovering your purpose. And I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. You were just basically, I felt like you were describing my grandfather because he lived and ate and slept and pooped his business 24/7 around the clock. I mean, people were drawn to him for that.
Yeah, I kind of lived mine. And, I want to say my best-selling book, Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business by Making a Difference. Everything that I just discussed is in chapter 4. And there are exercises in there to help you do that. But if I want to just help you right now, if you will take and just list out today your passions, those heart, what I call heart passions, they're your deeper passions, the differences that you really feel you're really, and don't list them with your head, list them with your heart, feel them, because it's all about feeling, building a great business and building a great life, building a great career, whatever, you know, direction you're on. It all comes from feeling it, not thinking it. And I think we end up in trouble when we try to think our lives, because our lives are a feeling experience. They're not a thinking experience. I mean, we still have to have strategy, and that comes from our thoughts. But when it comes to things like passion and purpose, these, you have to feel these. What is that difference that you feel so attracted to that you would be excited? I mean, one of the things, I'm teaching a podcast course right now, and one of the first things I said was, before I did my first recording, which was July 8th, I made a 3-year commitment to the podcast. I said, don't even do an interview if I'm not committed for 3 years. So I believe in making strong commitments. And I could make that commitment because I was going to talk about all different aspects of how to consciously build a business, from marketing to selling to branding. But it was all going to be from the place of honesty and integrity and having a higher purpose for your business, and you want to make a lot of profits, right? The two are intertwined. So I love business. So was I going to get tired of talking about business for 3 years? No, there's no way. There's no way. And the one on motivation is going to be me 3 days, 3 minutes a day. But I love pumping people up. I love, you know, getting them all inspired. And then the third one on health and fitness, again, a big topic. I'm certified in food healing, and I'm on my own health journey right now. So it'll actually support me. You know, I laugh. The universe inspires me to do things that I need to do, right? So it helps me. And that's part of the move to Colorado, is to get in a very healthy place. I've lived there before. I was like 183 pounds. I could ski for 9 hours at a time. And so I know how critical that is. And am I going to get tired of talking about health and fitness? No. No, I think it's an exciting topic, and we've got so many breakthrough things happening in those fields. And I, you know, kind of laugh and go, oh, well, all that pre-med actually comes back, I guess. You know, you actually get to use it. But I think you've got to be highly committed to this. And if you're not highly committed, don't do it. You know, it's the yoga, do or do not, but don't be this maybe thing. You owe it to yourself to dream big and execute big, because the dreams without the execution mean nothing. Dreams are just inspiration, you know, and they're great, but it's only when you turn that dream into a big execution are you really going to be living the real dream that you wanted.
So I got to ask you, did all this come from your parents, all this higher consciousness, to borrow a term?
Actually, you know, it's kind of interesting. I grew up in a really conservative family out in the country, went to church 3 times a week. I don't think higher consciousness in the sense that we mean it would have had any definite meaning to my parents, but they were, both of my parents, spiritual. What they instilled in me, and it has a lot to do with my nonprofit in wanting to be in 160 countries, helping youth become the next conscious leaders of the world, they might as well have painted it on the wall, because every day, and my parents lived it completely, every day I was told, you have an obligation for making the world better for having been here. It's on the family tombstone. You know, we came here to give our best and make our difference. It's something like that. And so I internalized that. And both of my parents, even though we had this rocky financial life, you know, were very big in civic matters. My father was governor of Florida Kiwanis when I was only, I guess, 8, 9 years old. When he died, he had been one of the most important people in Kiwanis. He'd been a, you know, committee member on an international level. He had been huge in Elks. He'd been huge in his church. So he was always, and so was my mother, always about giving and making a difference. And both of them lived that so passionately that I just naturally picked that up, that we're here for a different, we're here to make a difference. That's why we're on the planet.
Well, that's awesome. It's glad to hear that you weren't the black sheep of the family.
No.
They're like, business. And you're like, no, I kind of want to like go skiing or do something.
My father never really, my father died 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
He was 90. We owned a business together, and we had a very different management style. So that was its own rocky road. But once the business was sold, the first 5 years of my life, we were best friends. I went hunting with him, fishing with him, you know, everything. And then the last 10 years, we became best friends again. So we had to get rid of the company because we just had very different philosophies about how to run a business. Mine was all about structure and systems and processes and things. And his was about, let's do it by the seat of the pants. I'm going, I'm not real comfortable with that. So, you know, we had interesting discussions. But once that went away, then we came back and became best friends. And actually, in the same 6 months, we both seemed to have resolved the big issues of our relationship. And I'm saying this, you know, because it's not really what we're talking about, but in a way it is about having your dreams, because I've had this discussion with so many people. And what I have found is in our life, because we live in so many different places, it used to be everybody in a family. When I grew up, everybody on both sides of the family, with one exception, lived within 100 miles of each other. And most of us lived within 20 or 30. So every weekend was family. Extended family, right? That was every weekend. That's not life today. One person's in Los Angeles, another person's in New York, a third person's in Florida, right? And then you see each other maybe on Christmas or every 2 or 3 years. And this is the world we're living in. So what I found is that a lot of my friends have said, wow, I wish I had done what you did, because I never came to final terms with my parents. We never resolved our relationship. And with my father, we resolved it. And how we had to resolve it was that we were really living different lives. He was a real conservative. I've become a much more social liberal person, but with real strong fiscal conservative values. There are a lot of us that have that kind of mixture, right? But that I'm all about higher consciousness and the consciousness of the planet and sustainability. And it wasn't that my father was against any of that. It was more like it didn't have any resonance for him. Like, what are you talking about? And he grew up in the Depression in a really poor family. And so for him, this whole thing of me wanting to sell companies that were successful to go live my dream had made no sense to him. You know, he's going, we're making money. And I'm going, yeah, but I'm unhappy. And so that happiness and fulfillment stuff was not part of his generation. So that part we didn't understand. And I was like forever a personal development person. And he, as I go, he got up in the morning not to change anything. And I got up in the morning to change everything. So what happened in a 6 month time period is, I don't know how he did it because I never asked him, but I know how I did it, is that we both seem to have resolved that in order for us to have a great relationship, we were going to have to get down to accepting each other for who we were. So I decided to accept that he was never going to change, which was good, because in the next 10 years, he didn't change anything. And he decided to accept this. He made up a joke about it. If I don't like something about my son in 6 months, it'll be different anyway. So I've learned to live with it, right? And we learned to accept one another, which is the trick to any relationship working. But I found so many people who never came to terms with their parents, because yet also in that process, he had a stroke, and the doctors told me he would die within 4 months, and he did. And so I made certain during that time period, I spent like 12 hours a day with him, that I talked about every topic I ever wanted to talk about. I brought up things from underneath the carpet, and we had conversations about them and reached resolution about them so that we both understood what happened. Because a lot of times in life, the conflicts stay there because, for instance, you know, I mentioned Kiwanis. You know, it was a big deal to my father that I didn't want to be in Kiwanis. So I sat down with him one day. I took him out of the facility. You know, he was in a wheelchair because of the stroke. And I took him home and I sat with him. And I said, Dad, do you know why? And so he joined me in Qantas anyway. That was his way of taking care of it. Right. But it was a disappointment to him that I didn't want to go do all this. And I said, Dad, do you know why I never did that? And he goes, no, I never understood it. And I said, well, let me tell you, you were so major that, yes, you could have made me governor of Qantas, but I would always be the guy in your shadows. And I'm not a good shadow guy. I kind of like to have my own voice. And I was never going to be anything other than your shadow. And I didn't want to be your shadow. And when I told him that, he goes, well, that makes sense to me. And I go, well, yeah, it wasn't that I had anything against Qantas, but understand, at 14, I'd already been to 5 international Qantas conventions. I'd already been in Qantas for all practical purposes, but it was your deal. I need to go find my deal. And then when we talked about it, he understood it. And I'm so glad that we resolved all those things so that when he died, he was at peace, that there was nothing left. And I was at peace that we had talked about everything. And I don't know why this came up. I've never talked about it on any interview. But since I think it relates to your purpose, that part of our purpose is living a good life. I think each of us has a purpose of living a good life. And part of the good life is having those authentic relationships with the people we care about. And I'm glad that I did that, because I don't have any regrets. You know, I'm at peace, and I know that he was at peace.
I mean, I can see that. I mean, my listeners can't see it, but I can see it, that you definitely are at peace with it. And I mean, you're making me tear up because of my issues with my family. But before we get going, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share before we plug your websites and how people can connect with you?
I think we all can have an inspired life, and that the most important thing is to be authentic. I wrote my book 7 times over 7 years, and so I go, kids, don't do this at home. But in my case, it was the right journey.
Do it at a friend's house.
Don't write your book for 7 years. But in my case, it was the right journey. 4 of those times, it had the same first sentence, and it ended up with the same first sentence. It's just now each chapter has a little quote under the chapter number. So this is the first sentence of the book. And the reason it's the first sentence of the book is that statistically, 90% of the people who buy a book are never going to read past 30 pages. It's just the way it is. Right. And I decided I could not take on the burden of somehow being responsible that I was supposed to get every person who bought my book to read it 100%. So I took in the first chapter and I put a ton of great stuff. I said, if this is all they read, this will change their life. Let's at least give them this stuff so that we're front end loading it with great material. But the first sentence, I said, okay, if I could only tell someone one thing, this is what I would tell them. If you miss your real journey, you miss your real life, right? And your real journey is your authentic journey. It's the one that's real for you, not your mom, not your dad, not your brother, not your sister, not your lover, not your partner, not your kids, not your church, not anybody. Your real journey is your real journey, right? And that's the authentic journey. And I can't prove it because this is what those hypotheses. I can just say that my observations suggest it's true. That when we live in authenticity, we say and do the things that everybody around us needed from us. It may not be what their ego wanted. So sometimes they'll be unhappy that you spoke the truth as you saw it, right? They're not all going to be happy about this.
Everybody wants the truth, but nobody wants to hear the truth.
Yeah, I just want to warn you that authenticity, if you're being that real, and that doesn't mean that you feel compelled that it's your obligation to go tell somebody what you think's wrong with them. That's not what I mean. I just mean, if you're being authentic, someone may want something from you that for you isn't real for you. It's not right for you. And they may not be happy that you're unwilling to give it to them, but it would be wrong for your life. And I believe that if it's truly wrong for your life, it's also wrong for theirs, because most of the time I've noticed they're trying to get you to be responsible for something that they don't want to be responsible for. And that's why they're upset. That's why they wanted it from you. But by not doing that, because it didn't feel right for you, you now leave them with the opportunity of resolving that in whatever way they choose. And they may resolve it by taking on more empowerment in their own life. So that's why I'm saying they may not be happy in the short term, but in the long term, it might be actually providing them an opportunity. And the truth is, you don't know. You don't know. But it could be providing them an opportunity to grow in a way that they need to grow. But what's really important is that you live the authentic journey that's right for you. And you go out there and you make the difference that you feel you're on the planet to make. And you live the dream that you want to live, not somebody else. Right? You find people who resonate with that dream. And that's why I say that's why I'm going to Colorado. And we spend part of the time living in San Diego, because there are a lot of people there who have the same kind of tribal consciousness about, let's raise the consciousness of the planet. Let's, you know, get into sustainability, you know, all these things that I believe in. And so I want to be around people so I can support them in their causes and they can support me and we can all work together. So that's what I would say to you. Live your real journey, because when you get through, if you didn't live the real journey, nothing else is really going to have mattered.
Well, I can't resonate that enough, JV. Please, if you could, share your websites one more time and how people can connect with you.
Absolutely. So go to consciousmillionaire.com. We have a free First Million Manifesto there. It's right at the top. You know, get that. It's a 35-page document that tells you the 7 steps you need to take in order to make your first million. We give free webinars. Sign up for those. And please go to the Conscious Millionaire podcast. The podcast is on the page, or you can just go to consciousmillionairepodcast.com. There, it's on the website, and listen to the episodes. And if you would, I would be amiss, because we're both podcasters, if I say, if you would please go and rate and subscribe. It really helps us who have podcasts get the message out to more people. We broadcast 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and it's Business Coaching for Conscious Entrepreneurs. The name of the podcast is Conscious Millionaire. So everything's Conscious Millionaire. It's easy. And if you want to connect with me, it's really easy. It's JVCRUM on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on Google+. It's everywhere the same. Love to have you be a Twitter follower. So, you know, but just love for you to go get First Millionaire Manifesto. It's a great document that I think can change your life. It's absolutely free, and it's right at the top of consciousmillionaire.com. And, you know, I want to thank you for having me on. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope it's uplifting to others, because that's really why I'm here, is to help uplift people.
It's been uplifting to me, and the genuineness just oozes out. And especially, you know, thank you so much for sharing the story of your father and you. And I know, it resonated with me, so I'm sure it's going to resonate with a lot of people. So I really appreciate that. And I'd love to have you on again in 6 months to a year, JV, and just check in and see how you're doing.
I would love to. I'll be a Colorado guy. You will have to catch me between going out camping now.
Not a problem.
Yeah, but no, thank you very much. And I'd love to be a guest anytime.
Thank you very much, JV. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.